Okay, ladies and gentlemen, would you turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at several scriptures today. 2 Corinthians 9. You know, since we come to church to study the Bible, we need to read the Bible. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 9 and Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. In Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse number 13. Let's read this together, out loud together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Make sure you got both those verses marked in your Bible. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may be able to abound to every good work. Now, one last scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man servantly as he will. May God bless his word. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord. And Lord, help us all be surrendered to do thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many Bible scholars believe that the sign gifts, such as tongue speaking and miracles, may have ended at the end of the first century. Why would that be the case? Because the scriptures hadn't been written in the New Testament. That's why. Sign gifts were given in the first century by the apostles and the prophets because the New Testament scriptures hadn't been written yet. It'd be the end of the first century before they'd be completed, with John writing the book of Revelation in about AD 95. Now, there's been a period in history in which miracles primarily took place in three instances. You won't find them throughout history, but in three instances of history, you'll see a lot of miracles took place. The first place was in the miracles of Moses. God performed a lot of miracles by Moses, if you remember. The ten, when he went before Pharaoh. Why did he do that? To get Pharaoh to release God's people from Egyptian bondage so they could go to the land God was going to give them. So God used a lot of miracles by the hand of Moses. Now, later on in history, there was a time of a lot of miracles with Elijah and then Elisha. Elijah performed seven miracles that's recorded in the Bible. When Elisha, who come along after Elijah, he asked for a double portion of the Spirit. So Elisha performed 14 miracles. So there's two instances in history when miracles was being performed a lot by God. The last time was mainly when Jesus was here himself and the apostles, when he gave them the authority and the power to do like he did himself, perform miracles, certain miracles, healings and different kind of healings, casting out demons. And then on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and preached, and the Holy Spirit came down and formed the church through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some of them began to speak in tongues. And those people could hear what Peter was saying in their own language, some 18 different nations of people. You read about it in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Second chapter of the book of Acts. Those people could hear and go back to their different countries and tell what they heard Peter said. It was a language. It was not gibberish. It was not rolling and carrying on and out of control like a lot of people do today that say they're speaking in tongues. I used to be a member of a church where we had a holiness lady in that church. And at certain times, she would all of a sudden just get in a quiver and it was all over her seat. And after a while, she calmed down. That went on several times. But people call that talking in tongues. Well, I don't think it is myself, but that's what they say. I remember when I first started preaching and the Lord had anointed me to preach, somebody told me, said, "Now, did you speak in tongues?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, you can't speak in tongues if you'll just go to saying Jesus over and over as fast as you can." Can y'all believe what people will tell you, how to learn to speak in tongues? I'm telling y'all the truth now. And so when the Lord called me to preach, I had this, some distant kin to me. She went to a holiness church, and her pastor was sickly. And so they asked me, would I go on Sunday nights and preach for them? Said it'd be good experience for me. Boy, was it. And They said, well, if you, we'll take up, and what offer we get on Sunday night, we'll give to you. You know, well, I'm not interested in no offering, you know, but anyway, that was what they were, I was told. So I went for about probably 2 or 3 months on Sunday night. And we'd have maybe this many people, sometimes a few more in this little holiness church. And one night, well, on several occasions, two boys would get over there, and they would make out like they were taking demons out of one of them, you know. And then they'd pull them out, you know, and show them to the congregation. And all they'd have all. I mean, folks, listen. But then when I'd get up to preach, it was like everybody was dead. You know what I'm saying? Folks, listen, everything yellow's not gold. We're supposed to hear the word of God, what God's word says. And you don't have to put on demonstrations to get the congregation. And you know, some churches, when you hit the piano music, it's quiet till the music's hit. Then all of a sudden it's, you know, I mean, it's confusion and noise. But today what I want to talk about with you is this. What can I do for Jesus? What can I do for Jesus? Ask that to yourself. What can I do for Jesus? In 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Did you hear what he said? They're for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesy and serveth for them that believe not, but for them which believe. In other words, we stand up here and preach. If you can understand my language, it'll profit you. But if someone's up here talking in tongues to y'all and y'all understand English and they're speaking French or Spanish or something, it's not going to do any good. You understand? So since the first century, there's been no apostles, as they were the foundation of the church, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And the same thing is true about prophets. Prophets were given one message to go tell somebody, or to tell to the king or something like, or deliver a message. But we don't have any use for that office today, because we got the whole New Testament, and we have the entire Bible, so there's no need for those offices. But today you'll still see men come up and say they're a prophet and they're an apostle. Well, they just don't know what they're talking about. Listen to Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at several times in a different manner spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Listen to that. In time past, he spoke by prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So today we have the words of Jesus Christ. We know what Jesus Christ taught. We know what he taught his disciples. We know what the disciples now, who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down the sacred scriptures for us today. So that's important. So there's no need for the apostles and the prophets today. Now, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul wrote in chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see here that he first mentioned apostles and prophets, but as I've said, they have no longer existed. Now we have evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, because now all the New Testament has been written and we have it for our own edification today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We are all gifted today since we've been saved." We've been saved, and once we were saved, the Holy Spirit assigned to each one of us gifts, spiritual gifts, whereby we can serve the Lord. That's the reason I ask, what can I do for Jesus? You've been given spiritual gifts, and you and I are to use our gifts for Jesus, to promote Him, that others might know about Him. And that's what I'm trying to share with you today. There's different gifts. Everybody don't have the same gift. Some have more than one gift, but everybody has at least one gift, spiritual gifts, so you can serve Jesus Christ, so you can help get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we must be willing to use the gifts that have been given to us. He says, "And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So whatever spiritual gift you have been given by the Holy Spirit, He's the one that gives them. You're to use your spiritual gifts to exalt Jesus Christ and to carry on the work of His church in the world. What God has done is made it possible for every believer to be gifted so they can serve in some capacity for the enlarging of the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit Himself who bestows these gifts to us. We don't get them ourselves. You can't pray and get them. He assigns to each one what He wants each one to have. Some people say, "Well, what is my gift?" Well, have you ever tried to find out, really? What is it that you can do for Christ? Some people are gifted to teach. Some are gifted to sing. Some are gifted with administrative abilities. Some are gifted to be ushers or take care of the church. I mean, there's hundreds of different things that church members can do for the Lord and the church, for it to function and to be the church that the Lord Jesus Christ wants it to be. So the Holy Spirit assigns them. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, "Having them gifts different according to the grace that is given to us." So our gifts are different. What has been given to us, whether prophecy, whether ministry, teaching, exhortation, or giving. Some people have the gift, the ability to give. Some have the ability of extraordinary faith. Some have the gift to show mercy. They're just a whole range of various gifts that people have that is needed to do the work of the church. The Bible goes on and says, "He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, Paul goes on and says. Now think about the 12 disciples who knew nothing about the kingdom of heaven when Jesus called them. Some of them was out fishing. One was a tax collector. The rest of them, we don't know what they were doing. But they didn't know nothing about the kingdom of heaven. They were completely ignorant. But Jesus began to teach them. Over a course of 3 years of teaching by the Master, look at what they learned. Look at what they were able to accomplish. We saw some of them, like Matthew, like Peter, like John, they wrote part of the New Testament. Before that, they didn't even know about the kingdom of heaven. But after 3 years working with the Lord, and sometime later, they were used by the Lord, and then other men came along, like Mark, like Luke, like Paul, and God also used their talents, their abilities, to write other parts of the New Testament, and James. So think about how these men were so ignorant at one point, but after being saved and by following in the scriptures and the leadership of the Spirit, how they learned and grew and were usable to help us today to know about the Lord. And if they had not been willing to work for Jesus, we wouldn't have the benefit of this Bible. That's kind of scary to think about. What if they've not been willing? So we got to be willing to be used. We got to be willing to do something for the Lord. We got to be willing to carry on the work of the Lord, not depend on somebody else to do it. But each one of us as a believer is responsible to use the gifts that you have to help get out the gospel. And it's so important, and I just want to emphasize it today the best I can. We should not be saying that we can't do this or we can't do that. What do we read in our, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We just got to be willing to be used. We got to be willing to be used. And because God is able to use us if we are willing. When we apply ourselves, we grow. When you apply yourself, you'll grow. Read your Sunday school lesson. Study your Wednesday night books on that we have for prayer meeting. Be faithful in church attendance. Be faithful in praying, reading your Bible. And the gifts that are given to us will emerge. They'll reveal themselves. And it don't mean you use them in church per se. You'll use them out where you work at, where you live at, where you may be at. God will use your gifts to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and help get out God's word to others. Now, these disciples were willing to serve the Lord and to learn and take responsibility in what they had been taught. They didn't say, we can't do this. Jesus said to them, come follow me. They didn't say, well, I can't do that. And we can't say, I can't do that. If you're a Christian, God can put on your heart to do this or do that. And you can do it, but you got to be willing. You have to step out in faith. They didn't say, I don't have time. I don't have time. What about other Christians? Don't they have time? They have time. We all have the same amount of time. We got to learn to use our time wisely and be willing to do what we can for Jesus, folks. These men wanted to work with Jesus and tell of his kingdom and the glory of it. Their life had been changed. Has your life been changed? Do you have a hope of heaven? Do you want other people to have this hope of heaven? Do you want to please the Lord? So it's not just the pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not the teacher's job. It's all of our job to work together to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what can I do for Jesus? And so this is what I'm trying to emphasize and encourage all of us today to be concerned about. These unlearned men, these disciples that knew nothing, you know what they accomplished? They went all over the Roman Empire of their day spreading the gospel. And they didn't have a cell phone. How about that? They didn't even have a car. They walked or sailed in ships when they could to spread the gospel all over the Roman Empire. And it moved up into Europe. When it went over to Macedonia, it come over into Europe, and the pilgrims brought it over here for me and you to hear. Amen? Amen? What if these people have said, well, I can't do that? So we in this generation, we gotta carry the ball on. I don't know where y'all have ever participated. When I was in the Army, we did it, and I did it in school also, some relay races. You know what a relay is? And you have to pass the baton to the next. You run so far, you hand somebody else the baton, and then they run. Hey, folks, our generation, we got to hand this gospel to the next generation. Amen? We can't let it die with us. If there's anything needed in our country today, it's this generation to lift high the bloodstained cross, banner of the cross. And we've got to be faithful and pass it on to the next generation. And what's failing today in many places is parents are not raising their children for the Lord. And when that generation is raised up, who's going to hear? Who's going to hear? And we're already seeing the effects of it in our country today because of the home is divided today. Homes are busted. The devil's busted up the homes today. People's not interested in going to church today. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. If you was to go places today and the children on the street playing right now. Where's mom and dad? Our country's in a mess. Somebody's not interested in what can I do for Jesus? What can I do for Jesus? Have you ever asked yourself what you can do for the Lord, really? Have you really ever asked yourself that? Let's not forget we are his servants. You've been saved, you're a servant now. You go at the restaurant, somebody comes to serve you. We like that, don't we? You want somebody to come serve you. But we're supposed to be serving the Lord. We're supposed to be serving the Lord. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We're to be servants of righteousness for the Lord, living right, living godly, doing things for Jesus, promoting the Lord. Amen? Romans 6:22. But now bring being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We're servants of God, church. We're servants. We're to be serving. We're not to be laying around waiting for the Lord to serve us. You know what you're going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to be serving the Lord forever. Amen. You're going to be serving. It's supposed to start now. We learn to serve the Lord. Do something. What can I do? Ask the Lord what you can do. That's what you do. Lord, what can I do? Where do you need me at? Well, I'm scared he might send me to Africa. Bye. We'll help buy the ticket, won't we, Brother Javis? Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 2:16. As free, not using your liberty for the sake of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We're servants, church. We're not just living here for ourselves. We're living for the Lord. Too many in our church, I don't just talk about this church, I'm talking about the Lord's church now. There's too many in the church don't realize their responsibility. We're to be serving. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what Isaiah said. Lord, what you want me to do? Servants are going to be rewarded. Got your Bible? Got your Bible? Listen, James 1:12 right quick. Do you know what? Here's what's going to happen with servants. You're going to be rewarded with a crown if you're faithful. Amen? James 1:12. Write that down. We don't have time to read them right now. James 1:12, a crown of life's going to be given to you. Given to those who persevere under trials. Under trials. Don't let your troubles stop you. Amen? Don't let your problems stop you. You got problems, that's when you need the Lord more. Amen? Okay, let's look at, write this down. 2 Timothy 4:8. We don't have time to read all these, but I'm giving them to you. And I'm trusting you to read them. 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. And here's what it is promised to those who love and anticipate the coming of the Lord. A crown of righteousness. Are you looking for the Lord to come? You'll get a crown. Amen? You're to get that crown. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:8. Those that's looking for the Lord, I look for the Lord every day. I walked outside last night, looked up at the moon and the stars. Lord, come on. Amen? Okay, looking 1 Corinthians 9:25, write that down now. Write that down. It's the incorruptible crown you can get. The incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Given to those individuals who demonstrate self-denial and perseverance. Self-denial and perseverance. It's going to be given to those Christians is faithful, church. What are you doing for the Lord? What can I do for Jesus? Be faithful. Persevere. Don't give up. Okay, here, write this one down. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And also Philippians 4:1, both of those go together. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and Philippians 4:1. The crown of rejoicing. We're going to get a crown of rejoicing. It's given to those who engage in reaching those outside the church, winning the lost. Amen? Amen? Yeah, that's another crown. Crown of rejoicing. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, the crown of glory is going to be given to the ministers who shepherd the flock and being a good example. 1 Peter 5:4, given to the ministers that's faithful to their flock. So read those, meditate on those, and work at those goals that are set before you to win those crowns. Because the Lord wants to give them to people that are serving. You know, Jesus taught us, lay up treasures in heaven. You have to put them in there. You know, if you start a savings account at the bank, if you don't ever put anything in it, it won't everything be in it. Amen? And in heaven, it's the same way. As we live our lives now, if we're living faithful and serving the Lord, we're laying up treasures. And there's a lot of ways this can be accomplished. For example, you can be a good mom. You can be a good dad. You can teach your children about the Lord. You can be faithful in church. You can be faithful to pray. You can be faithful to read your Bible. You can be faithful in sharing the Lord, in giving, living by faith. Folks, give yourself to the Lord and ask Him how can He use you. How can He use you? What are your gifts? The Holy Spirit, as I've already said, has given each of us a spiritual gift. And I kind of mentioned it a while ago, but some have the gift of giving. Some people can give. I remember the woman in the Bible, she was as poor as dirt. She had what we would call 2 pennies. She put it in the temple treasury, just 2 pennies. Well, there's a bunch of people, they're just bringing all kind of wealth to the Lord. But Jesus said she give more than any of them. How could she do that? Because she gave her all. She gave her all. See, the Lord don't look at the amount. He looks at how much are you giving. Are you sacrificing? Are you sacrificing? Some have the gift of counsel. My wife is a good counselor. I'm not a counselor, but my wife's a good counselor. Some of you might be. That's a gift that you can use for the Lord. Faye was using her gift this week talking to our neighbor. Counseling her. Use your gifts. Some have the gifts of faith. Some people would just go out on faith. We built this church, and I didn't have no money. I didn't have any money. I don't know how we built this church, Brother Chaffin. But we built this church. God made a way. You got to step out, though. You got to step out. You got to live by faith. You got to be willing. Some have the gift of being a prayer warrior. Some people have the gift of praying. Hey, you might be a prayer warrior. You might be one that really gets hold of God. Boy, do we need Him today. Amen? Do we need him today? Some people are gifted as a prayer warrior. You can't pray too much. Hey, all of us have the ability to pray. But do we pray? Do we pray? Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the ability to teach. John is a teacher. Some of the rest of you could teach if you get up and try, probably. Amen? Some of you might could get up and sing. Amen? Hey, some have the gifts of helps. Helps. You know, I miss that man so much, and I love that guy, Brother Bill. Brother Bill had the gift of helps. I mean, I could call other names, but I'm not going to. But Brother Bill, you didn't have to tell Bill to do anything. He could just go do it. And he enjoyed doing it for the church, Brother Chavis. I miss that man. He just bubbled over to do something, church. He just bubbled over. I know some more like that, but I'm just talking about Brother Bill now. He was among us. I miss him. He had the gift of helps. I mean, he could work in the bathroom. He could work on electricity. I mean, he could work on some carpenter stuff. I mean, he just wanted to help. Thank God for people like that. Some have the gift of administration. Boy, I don't have a bit of that. My wife's got that, but I sure don't have a bit of administration. Amen. I got a mess. That's the part I got. Yes, but God has given you gifts, church. God's given you something you can do that somebody else can't do, maybe. But do it freely, willingly, lovingly, anxiously, and you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. Y'all see how all that racket Miss Linda had out here this morning? All that racket she was making? But look what a clean place we got this morning. Amen? Somebody's got to be willing. What can I do for Jesus? Don't do it for the praise of man. Do it for Jesus. We can't do too much for the Lord, church. When we see him, we're going to wish we'd have done something. I'm telling y'all the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. We're the body of believers working together for the glory of God and for the good of our fellow man who needs salvation. God delights in those who volunteer to engage in taking on responsibility. I tell you what, I appreciate it. I hate to admit it. I appreciate somebody's mowing our yard today. But I never would have quit. That's just my nature. I don't quit. But I appreciate you because it was hard. It was hard. reason I say I don't quit is when I was in high school, I wanted to play baseball. It was 12 miles to high school. I wanted to play ball. Daddy said, well, okay, you can play ball, but bush axe around this 100-acre farm and you can go out for baseball sophomore year. I didn't get to play freshman. So freshman year, sophomore year, baseball practice, I was out there after school had closed. Then I had to come home. Guess how I got home? 12 miles. You think I stopped? Next day I was doing the same thing. Hey, folks, I don't quit. I played ball 3 years. I thumbed, I bummed, I run, I walked, but I played baseball. You know what I got to do? I played on a championship team for the state. I got to pitch one of the games. Folks, you don't quit. I'm not boasting or bragging. I'm saying you don't quit. We got to be faithful. Got to be faithful. Serving the Lord is not going to church. Let me tell you that. Y'all listening to me today? You're not out here serving the Lord right now. You ought to be out here praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, thanking the Lord, talking to the Lord. Coming to church is not serving the Lord. You're getting served. Amen? What can I do for Jesus? We go to church to worship, to praise. Have you praised the Lord since you've been out here today? Have you praised Him, thanked Him, worshiped Him? Have you learned anything about the Lord today? That's why you come to church. We bring our gifts. Tithes or offerings to help spread the gospel further, folks. Amen. Folks, there's doors open for us to spread the gospel more if we just had more offerings, more people. Amen? There's doors. They're begging us to get on their stations, but we can't get on. We got to have bigger pots. Amen? Paul said upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. You know, we have to have a lot of money just to keep the building up. The parking lot's getting ready to be paved. Needs paved before long. That's going to be a bill. We never have got our sign installed out front. That's got to be done. We have a mission program. Look at our missionaries we support. Our radio, TV, etc. Newsletter. We get a lot of support from our newsletter. Well, folks, listen. What can I do for Jesus? What are you willing to do for Jesus? There's one thing you will find when you are actively working for the Lord. One thing you're going to find out when you're really working for the Lord. You know what it is? He's realer. He'll be more real to you. He won't feel far away. It's a good feeling to feel the realness of the Lord. Something else going to happen when you're really working for the Lord. You know what that's going to be? You're going to find out you got an enemy coming against you. Because he ain't going to like it. If you say you're going to do something for the Lord, He ain't going to like it. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about that fella in the bulletin I wrote about. He ain't going to like it. But you got to resist. You got to resist. You got to push on. Greater is he that's in you than he of the world. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're going to find you got an enemy when you dedicate yourself to the Lord. Everything ain't going to go smooth. I believe that old rascal's in my computer at home, and I can't get him out to save my life. It's a Dell, and I said it ought to be in. I'm closing. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Ask God what he wants you to do. Just go ahead and ask him. And you know what? If you will do what he says for you to do, you'll just be so happy you did. You will. You'll be so glad you did. It'll give you such a peace. It'll give you such purpose. It'll give you such meaning. Say, Lord, what can I do for Jesus? And mean it. Not to get praise. Nobody might not even never know what he wants you to do. We don't serve God for the praise of men. We serve God to exalt his name for who he is. And we're blessed to be his servant. We're blessed to be his servant. We're blessed to be called the sons and the daughters of God, church. You just think about how few really sons and daughters of God in this country. You're an exclusive group. But humble yourself and praise him, because we don't any deserve it. We're all a bunch of sinners. And the more I live, the longer I live, the more I realize what a sinful person I am. And I don't like it. I don't like it. But don't change it. Walk holy before the Lord. Give yourself over to the Lord. You won't ever regret it. Loving God, thank you for letting me one more time open the word. Lord, I've fumbled and mumbled along today trying to express. You've given us spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit to use to exalt Jesus Christ. You give us different gifts because there's different needs. And I pray that each one in this sanctuary today would honestly would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do for Jesus that I can exalt him and be a blessing to other people because of it? Challenge hearts, Lord, and bless them and encourage them, Lord. Put your loving arms around them, Lord. I love them, Lord. I love them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Lord, we're just a little flock, but we're your flock. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless. Our altar's open. You want to come praise the Lord today? Maybe you want to come to the altar today and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's up to you. It's up to you and the Lord, you know. Lord, what would you have me to do?